If it makes you happy, living in a house that doesn't slam doors. By Ender Scones. Read by Panda. Rating: mature. Relationship: Logan vs. Wolverine, Wade Wilson. Additional tags include: alternate universe, no powers. Emotional hurt comfort. Domestic violence. Pre-relationship. Emotional / psychological abuse. Implied physical abuse. Angst with a happy ending. Summary. Unfortunately, Valentine's Day doesn't pan out for either Wade or Logan. They find that spending it together is better than spending it with the assholes they were meant to. Something hopeful flickers between them, but Wade will have to find an abundance of courage before they can even start to figure it out. "You're such a fucking liar, Wade," bounces off his window, even though it comes from the street below. It has to fight for recognition against the rain pattering on the glass. "Leaving for hours at a time, cheating motherfucker. It was 2 hours, and it was the grocery store. It's a miracle that it only takes me 2 hours to get there, shop, and then come back home with the way the subway lines are right now. I literally have the groceries with me. When the fuck would I have time to cheat on you?" The slimy voice comes back at twice the volume. "Your slut girlfriend must be the cashier." Logan tries to ignore the conversation and focus on seasoning the salmon he intends to bake, but the yells get louder. After a second, a crash comes from the street and he feels obligated to check, just in case. When he gets to the window, he sees two men standing on the stoop, a reusable bag on the ground near their feet with groceries spilled out onto the sidewalk. Logan recognizes them as the neighbors that live across the hall from him. "You always fucking do this," the one with the hood up says evenly, crossing his arms. "Every holiday, anniversary, birthday, you always fucking act like this and ruin it." The man, who he thinks is named Frank or something similar, kicks at the bread and sends it flying down the street. "You're the one who ruined tonight. All you had to do was stay home and be with me instead of your stooping fucking girlfriend." He picks up the half gallon of milk and brutally throws it at the guy still standing on the stoop, thudding hard against his back when he turns to block it. It splits down the side and drenches him with help from the rain that has started coming down in earnest, and Logan has to flinch. Frank gives the other neighbor a double-handed middle finger and starts off down the street with more yelling. "Wade Wilson is a cheating fucking stud, everyone. Wade Wilson is a fucking whore cheater. If this is ruining your Valentine's Day festivities, blame it on Wade Wilson being a fucking cheater. He lives in apartment 18 of the Madison building." Wade Wilson just stands there and watches him go. A moment later, he sits in the corner of the unshielded stoop, letting the rain come down on him with no attempt to stop it. "That's pretty fucked up," Logan thinks, as he goes back to meal prepping. He starts on the garlic green beans, pouring himself a glass of wine preemptively. Over the next hour, Logan thinks of his neighbors at least 15 more times, despite no more noise coming from outside their building. It distracts him from wondering where his date is. It's not until the timer goes off for the salmon that he notices she's at least 2 hours late. At first, he excuses it. A lot of people don't show up exactly when they agree to. Not a big deal. It's easy to run late, or choose to show up late to avoid the awkward moments between actively completing tasks. Sometimes, it's even done out of politeness to give the host time to finish getting ready for guests. He'd send a quick text to confirm their plans and his address and continue trimming and washing the green beans while thinking about his neighbor's relationship. That was an hour ago, and he realizes that his phone never buzzed. He checks it now, just to be sure, and the text sits in their chat unread. Logan heaves a sigh to himself and stalks to the window in resignation, knowing he won't see her coming down the sidewalk, but hoping she might be anyway. There's only one person outside the building, unfortunately. It's Wade, still sitting on the stairs in the exact position Logan last saw him in. Concern fills his chest tightly, and he has to fight against his mind your damn business instincts before they let him head to his buzzer. Hey, it's apartment 17, he says into the speaker. You're not dead down there, are you? I'd hate to have to call the cops. After a second, the buzzer crackles to life. No, just wishing I was. Logan grimaces at that and presses the button again. Come inside. You gotta be freezing by now. It's not like it matters. Francis has both keys for the apartment. I'd just be sitting in the hallway getting the carpet all wet and gross, which might make the mold problem worse, and I'd be patient zero, and everyone would hate me for sure. At least outside where it's cold and rainy, the environment is way better for staring into the middle distance and crying like I'm in the Breakaway music video. He can't help but roll his eyes at the dramatics, even if Wade has every right to throw himself a pity party at the moment. Logan responds definitely, with an air of exasperated teasing. You are invited into my home. He hits the button for the door and goes back to the still hot food. A knock comes at his door just as he finishes plating everything. When he opens it, Wade stands there looking drowned and absolutely pathetic. His hood is still up, and water pools around his converse where the water is dripping down from the rest of him. He wasn't kidding about making the mold problem worse. Jesus, Bob, he breathes out, before stepping back and letting him in. Come on, I got some clothes you can borrow. Logan leads him into the bedroom and points out the ensuite, handing him a t-shirt, pajama pants, and a worn hoodie. The apartment is eerily silent when he enters the kitchen again. He thinks back distantly to the few times he's run into Wade and his friends in the hallway and distinctly remembers that he's normally a chatterbox. It worries him. I hung my stuff up on the drying rack in the tub. It breaks him out of his reverie. Not to ask you for your firstborn child or anything, but do you have some socks? The little piggies get pretty cold. Logan stares at him for a second. Wade looks soft and vulnerable. He has to internally groan at himself when he realizes that seeing him in his clothes makes something weird spark in his chest. Somehow, he has once again collected another stray, except this one might cause him a little more trouble. It's not ideal, either, that his domestic brain is trying to claim him. Yeah, he says as he pushes past Wade gently. Even the limited contact from that makes Logan's chest tighten. Bad idea, bad timing. Bad idea, bad timing. Bad idea, bad timing, he repeats to himself in his head as he returns with the socks and hands them over. Were you in the middle of dinner or something? Wade asks as he leans against the counter and slips them on, nodding to the food laid out on the worktop. Bad idea, bad timing. Logan says lamely as he looks over the dishes. Yeah, she never showed. Woof, Wade says, making a face at him in sympathy. Garbage Valentine's Day for both of us then, huh? Second date probably was too soon for a home-cooked meal, Logan admits wearily. He grimaces and clicks his teeth. Oh, well, yeah, there's your problem. Dinner at home is more a third or fourth date kind of joint. When you do it on the first or second date, it just gives off serial killer vibes, like you're a spider luring a fly into a web. Well, Logan sighs at him, grabbing one of the plates and the whiskey he poured for himself before inviting Wade in. You're welcome to it if you feel okay sharing dinner with a spider. I have always been a good little fly, Wade supposes, before following suit. They sit at a small table pushed up against the end of the breakfast bar, the candle on the side of it unlit, but still giving off a light floral smell. You're not gonna get in trouble with your boyfriend for this, are you? What's it matter? I'm already in trouble. Wade thinks for a second before correcting himself. Always in trouble. The admission makes Logan's stomach turn a little, and it ruins his first bite of salmon. He chews and fights with himself, before giving up and asking, So, why are you with him? You know, I've never liked green beans, but these are really good. These are green beans, right? Yeah, all right, fair enough. His phone buzzes on the counter. When he picks it up, the notification on the lock screen reads out, OMG, I'm so sorry. I lost track of time. Maybe I can still come over in like 2 hours? With a grimace, he flips it around for Wade to read. What do you think of this? She was supposed to be here at 6. And she's asking to come over after 10:30? Wade stares at him apologetically. I'm so sorry, Peanut, but she was never showing up at 6, and all she wants from you is sex. Logan nods at that in resignation and sends back a polite rejection text. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I guess the good news is that you weren't giving off serial killer vibes, just Silver Fox Gym Rat vibes. He has all the laugh at that. I think the serial killer thing is better. Only for us adventurous girls, Red responds offendedly, as he smashes a green bean into his plate. Actually, there's a bunch of teenagers and middle-aged straight women who have a thing for serial killers online. Like the Manson girls? Yeah, but those are original gangsters, Wade says around his mouthful, waving his fork around with a piece of fish skewered on the end. I'm talking about people creating Tumblrs and TikTok pages about these guys and worshipping them. It's super creepy and fucked up, but the murderers are kinda hot, so I guess it's okay? There's a guy that shares my name, and it's made things a little more difficult for me, actually. Like, when people see it, they're just like, ew, gross. Or they think I'm one of the worshippers. Tough, Logan says, realizing that Wade has started rambling. It brings him a little relief. Thank you, Wade says sincerely. Nobody ever commiserated with me about it. After a while, the conversation ebbs into something slow. Logan offers to put on a movie, which leads Wade to a glance at the clock on the stove. He seems to weigh something in his head before agreeing. Logan tells him that he has Hulu and to pick whatever he wants, grabbing dessert from the fridge for them. Whoa, what fancy bakery did you pick these little motherfuckers up from? Wade asks, grabbing one of the dozen chocolate-covered strawberries from the container between them and crunching into the tip of it. Madam. He gapes at him, failing to catch a bit of chocolate that falls out of his mouth. No shit. Wow. It's not hard. Just double boil some chocolate, dip them, hang them, Logan says with a shrug. Wade's eyes sparkle with something akin to mischief, so he plows on. What are we watching? A masterpiece. It only has like 10 on Rotten Tomatoes. What the fuck is this? Logan laughs out. And Wade hits the play button and the title briefly pops up. Isn't this an Adam Sandler movie? Well, he supposes, finishes his strawberry. There's like a billion of them, so your guess isn't really all that special. It turns out that, yes, it is an Adam Sandler movie. He doesn't think it deserves the 10 it got on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's not great. It's good for wasting an hour and a half on anything but thinking, which he's guessing was the goal to begin with. As the credits play out, a door somewhere on their floor slams closed. It sounds suspiciously like the one to Wade's apartment. Well, amigo, it's about that time. 11:43 to be exact. I should get going. Wade seems reluctant to get up from the couch, and Logan gets it. He wants to say something profound that might make him stay, possibly forever, but he can't find the right thing that has all the grace and smoothness he wants to convey. The words seem too intense for someone he's only really met in passing. Eventually he ends on, I'll bust you in if you ever need. The smile Wade sends him is real but sad, stress pulling at the seams and threatening to crack his face. He's gone within seconds. Logan pauses the TV, wondering what sort of damage grown-ups will have on his Hulu algorithm and thinks of all the dishes he doesn't want to do. In apartment 18, something heavy hits a wall. The door stays quiet, so Logan minds his business. Really, you don't have to do this, Don says warmly from across the breakfast bar. Let's just order DoorDash and call it a day. Logan grimaces good-naturedly and continues to knead the dough. But I want to, and you ask me. It's just a lot of effort. Maybe he should have rejected her again. After Valentine's Day, that should have been the last straw. But Don had texted him a week later, asking if he was up for another date, and promised she wouldn't forget this time. She even expressed remorse over missing his cooking and requested they try it again. He gives her a tight smile. Well, I'm basically already done. Everything just needs to bake. When she leans over the counter, he can tell she's trying to use her body to advantage. Normally, it would work on him, not want to turn down good sex. Right now, though, after putting all this effort into two dates that she specifically requested, it's just annoying. Yeah, but how long is that gonna take? We could just skip to the good part. Hey, it's Wade from 18. Did we ever exchange names? I don't remember yours, which isn't weird for me. I mean, you probably know mine after that crazy embarrassing display. Anyway, It sort of happened again. Who the hell is that? Dawn asks abrasively, wrinkling her nose at the door buzzer. Doesn't he know you're hosting a date? Logan looks at her. Really looks at her. She's beautiful, of course. It's part of the reason he took an interest in her in the first place. Her sleek, dark hair frames her proportional face perfectly, and the blue of her eyes is so striking that it's often the first thing that catches his attention when he meets with her. However, in a moment like this, where she's expressing undeserved vitriol over something so small, it's unattractive and, well, maybe he can forgive the other bullshit she's put him through for the few short weeks they've known each other, including the disrespect to his time and energy. But not this. You know, he surmises, rinsing dough residue from his hands in the sink, I don't think this is gonna work out. You should go home. She turns to him in shock and lets out a short laugh. What? Are you serious? He shrugs as he dries his hands. Saving us time. We're not compatible. But a wrinkle appears in her forehead. We like each other. Logan heads to the door and presses the buzzer as he pushes down his frustration. No, I think we just like the sex. Dawn gets up and gathers her things in irritation before wrenching her boots on and almost losing balance. What? You don't think I can do more than just sex? Maybe for someone else, not me. Logan gives her a polite smile and opens the door for her, revealing Wade on the other side with her fist raised in preparation to knock. Oh, he says sheepishly as he looks between Logan and Dawn. I'm so sorry. I didn't know you had company. Seriously? This is who you're kicking me out for? Dawn scoffs, pausing in the doorway next to Wade to slap at his arm with the back of her hand. This diseased-looking motherfucker? A thrill of anger runs up his spine, so he grabs Wade by the wrist and yanks him inside. Yep, he replies plainly, and slams the door in her face, sure to turn the locks with too much force just to make them clang against the wood loudly. Well, you didn't have to do all that. No, I did, Logan clips out on his way to the kitchen, grabbing the olive oil from where it sits on the counter and pouring a liberal amount into the bottom of a baking sheet. Is that the one from Valentine's Day? He asks, as he sits in the seat Dawn vacated. Seems like a winner. Logan shakes his head at that and deposits the dough onto the pan to shape it into a flat, greasy plane. She wanted to order DoorDash. That's not that heinous of a crime. Annoyance fills his chest as he works oil into the dough, so he just jerks his head behind him towards the preheated oven where the lemon chicken and asparagus wait to be put inside on the racks. Wade stands on the rungs of his stool to get a better look and tisks at what he sees. Okay, I'll concede. She deserves to be shot dead in the street. Logan doubles over with surprised laughter, keeping his hands in the pan to avoid getting oil everywhere. All right, it wasn't that bad. No, I think you're really underselling it, actually, Wade replies dryly and nods his head. She's going to hell for these transgressions. That's twice in like 2 weeks that she's totally disregarded your banging ass cooking for the dumbest reasons. And you know, he says, rinsing his hands again, and I think it was also because she just wanted to have sex. If I kept making dinner, I'd have to pay attention to that instead of her. Wade shakes his head at that, disappointment coloring his face. I love fucking as much as the next person. Actually, I probably love fucking more than most people do. But I don't think I choose it over your literal offering from heavens. Some things are just better than sex. Not that she'd know, Logan grumbles, throwing rosemary and salt at the pan. No, but it also means she doesn't know she's missing out, Wade answers sagely. She can stay in the dark, as far as I'm concerned. It means I get to enjoy her dinner with the guy who tossed her out. Admiration fills his chest comfortably, and he wonders if Wade meant anything real by it, or if it's just part of his plan to eliminate every silent moment in a conversation. Logan puts the chicken and focaccia in the oven and leans against the counter, taking a deep breath before grilling him with, "So, what happened?" Wade purses his lips and puts his chin in his hand. It takes a moment before he answers, but at least he does. "We were on the A train, and I guess I was standing too close to some guy, so he started making a scene. He was too busy yelling about me being a slut to some lady sitting behind him to realize I fled the scene of the crime at the next stop." "What's his deal with the cheating thing? Have you ever done that to him? Logan asks bluntly, but not accusingly. No, Wade says simply, doe eyes pinning Logan to the spot and making him feel guilty for even asking. I wouldn't. Never ever. Maybe you should, he wants to say so badly. Part of him wants it to be him, sure. But really, anyone would do if it means Wade gets out of this shitty situation. If he were to ever justify cheating, it'd be for people like Francis. He who protests loudest, Logan says, trailing off and turning to dig in the fridge for a beer. He looks over his shoulder at Wade and asks, you want one? You think you might be cheating on me? He replies hollowly, like the thought never occurred to him. Shame builds in his chest for even suggesting it, and he pauses to think about how to answer, coming up short. I didn't. No, it's okay, he replies sadly. You're probably right. I just didn't think about it because I've been too busy trying to prove that I'm not, and then wondering if I accidentally did cheat, like on the train. I thought maybe I was standing too close, you know, doing it without actually thinking. I'm pretty sure that's the whole point of constantly accusing you, to make you question yourself. Maybe. Logan crosses his arms and regards him for a moment. Wade, I don't really want to talk about this, he interrupts, straightening up and putting both hands on the counter. Tell me about this asparagus I'm going to fall in love with. Logan has mercy on him and explains the recipe in its entirety. Wade, to his credit, listens intently and absorbs every detail. By the time he's done, the asparagus is ready to go in, and Wade proceeds on a tangent about lions. Apparently, lionesses will hunt during thunderstorms, and sometimes males might not grow a mane to reduce heat exposure. They sit down for dinner and end up talking about anything besides the elephant in the room. It abates something hard in his chest the longer they spend together, especially when Wade's shoulders slowly drop from around his ears and his face relaxes. It looks good on him, and Logan wishes he saw it more. Dread slips down his veins when Wade eventually announces that he should leave, citing the texts Francis has sent him in the last half hour. Logan can't make out much in terms of context when he waves the screen at him, but the length of the paragraphs don't leave room for any doubt. Words sit on the tip of his tongue when Wade gets up from the couch. Logan sees him out, spending the rest of the night wishing he'd said something more. The steps out of the subway are a little slick with residual rain, so Logan is careful on the way up. Sunshine peeks out from behind a few leftover clouds, and he thinks he might be able to put away his coats for good and stick with hoodies for now as the weather warms up. Continuing down the sidewalk, he dodges a few puddles of water and God knows what on the path to his apartment. Yelling catches his ear as he draws closer, and he spots a woman standing near the stairs glaring up at somebody in one of the windows, gesturing at them angrily. Wade stands on the stoop, arms folded and leaned against the railing, staring at the same person. Random items litter the concrete liberally, turning the front of the building into a disaster zone. Whether or not your boyfriend deserves it, you could seriously fucking hurt someone down here, jack-off, the woman yells as a balled-up item of clothing exits the building, unfurling halfway down and landing in a puddle pathetically. You can call the cops if you think it's a problem, bitch, a voice calls back, Francis leaning out of the window to drop a heavy box of what Logan thinks might be vinyl records onto the pavement with a crack. The woman jumps back as a few shards bounce out of the cardboard towards her, cursing more before stomping off down the road. Logan slows to a stop in front of the stairs and puts his hands on his hips as he cranes his neck to look at the spectacle. Francis disappears back into the building, presumably to grab something else to toss out. He looks at Wade, whose face is impassive. Another box comes flying out seconds later, scattering a few loose photos across the sidewalk when it lands crookedly, the sound of glass tinkling around the other items in it. The window above them slams shut with finality, leaving the whole street eerily silent. Logan walks past the stairs and gathers the photos up before they can drift off in the wind and tucks them into the box they came out of. There are more pictures in there amongst friendship bracelets and other random knickknacks that he assumes are sentimental objects. Most of the clothes laying on the ground are only damp, so he gathers them up and drops them in the box with the records and hopes that the album art doesn't get too ruined. He makes sure to grab anything else that doesn't look like trash and shoves it all in with the prints. Unlocking the front door, he props it open with the doorstop that lives just inside and loads the boxes into the hallway before addressing Wade. "Hey," he says quietly, getting no response. Cautiously, Logan reaches out and plants a hand firmly on one of his elbows, waiting a few seconds before applying any pressure. Wade lets himself get pulled inside, and Logan removes the doorstop. He picks up the sentimentals and pushes the records along the floor with his boot towards the elevator. Wade follows him through the doors dutifully, still not looking at him and seeming to not take in any of his surroundings. When they reach their floor, Logan puts the boxes in the hallway and ushers Wade into his apartment, doubling back for his things a second later. When he returns, Wade is standing in the same spot in the middle of the living room, unseeing. Gently, he maneuvers him to the couch and realizes that Wade isn't wearing a jacket or shoes and that his socks are soaked through with nasty street water. Logan barely manages to convince him to change into a new pair of socks he grabbed from his room and wraps a blanket around him afterwards. His plan was to do laundry when he got home, but when he leans away from the sofa, the boxes stare at him from their sad spot on the kitchen floor. Fuck it, he thinks. He's home. He'll do the fucking laundry. Grabbing Wade's clothes from the top of one of the boxes and depositing them into the hamper in his arms, he heads to the front door. Don't go anywhere, he instructs firmly, not expecting an answer before leaving the apartment and ascending to the basement to drop his load into one of the washers down there. When he comes back up, he sees that Wade has laid down and curled up on the sofa. Logan still isn't sure what to do, so he turns the TV on and sets it to play a cue of Adam Sandler movies, hoping it'll do something, anything. He checks the time on his phone and determines that ordering dinner is the next step before dealing with all of Wade's broken shit. He's not sure what kind of pizza Wade likes, or if he'll even be sentient enough by the time it gets here to care, so he just orders one cheese and one pepperoni. Worst comes to worst, he's sure there's something in his fridge he can put together for him. The boxes are a huge mess. Most of the records don't have album art, and there are scratches covering their surfaces. Only a few of them are standing upright, and Logan frowns at the state of them. The saving grace is that it looks like only two of them have cracked or chipped from being dropped, and he thinks he might be able to superglue them back together. It won't make them playable, but at least Wade could keep them. In the other box, all the little baubles and photos are covered in glass that he'll have to pick through if he wants any hope to give them a home in a new container. The main culprits are a few framed snapshots with now cracked wood sitting in the middle of it all. Some of the loose ones are folded at weird angles, and some others are scuffed where the shards made rough contact with them. In the corner, a pile of friendship bracelets sit at the very bottom of a partially shattered Mickey Mouse mug. Logan begins pulling out the larger pieces of glass and takes care not to catch his fingers on the grid. He shakes out the pictures and lays them out on the counter, fixing their dog ears the best he can without wearing out the ink too much. Many of them are real people he can recognize from passing them in the hallway, but a few pictures are old and faded. Those ones heavily featured a child with a young woman. He notes that more than a handful are cut out or have pieces torn away. Under all the photos, a few more items litter the bottom. A Charlie Brown Christmas ornament, an arcade token, a couple of rings, a paperweight with a coin imprisoned inside by resin. He picks up a small, thick jar that has a bunch of stickers in it that are shaped to say, fuck, with a ribbon wrapped just under the lip that reads, Wade Wilson's last few fucks to give. He quickly gathers them up and dumps them, along with the rescued photos, into an empty plastic bin from his closet. He opens his junk drawer and digs around until he finds the glue. With care, he removes the mug and makes quick work of the shattered pieces, leaving it to dry near the sink. Logan does the same for the two broken vinyls and retrieves the stack of paper sleeves he keeps under his record player. A knock interrupts him, and for a terrifying moment he thinks it might be Francis. Wade is still laying on the couch, staring at the TV with dead eyes, and there is no way Logan will make the decision to turn him back over to this man. When he gets to the door, he's fully prepared to not even answer it, depending on who he finds on the other side of the peephole, and is relieved when it's just a tired-looking delivery person holding an insulated pizza bag. Logan quickly accepts their food and brings it to the kitchen. He places the boxes on the counter and pulls plates down from the cabinet, almost dropping them on the floor gracelessly when he turns back around. Wade stands directly behind him with the blanket wrapped around his shoulders. The look on his face is still fairly empty, but there is a little spark behind it that wasn't there when Logan came home. Willing his heart to stop pounding, he breathes out, "Feeling better?" Wade just shrugs. He takes the plates from him and heads to the table wordlessly. Logan watches him settle in uncomfortably as he scoots his chair back to lean his forehead on the surface. He brings over the boxes of pizza and cautiously places them in the middle, off to the side as much as the space allows, and pulls out two cans of soda from the fridge. When he sits, Wade doesn't move. "Cheese or pepperoni?" Logan asks quietly. Wade turns his gaze to the side and cranes his neck as best as he can without lifting his head from the table. There's something in his eyes that Logan can't quite place. "Cheese." He dishes them up and they eat silently. After a few slices, Logan decides he can't sit there anymore doing nothing. He crosses the space again to the turntable and takes the record roller from one of the drawers under it. Wade turns around and gives him a curious look, watching as he comes back to the kitchen to wash his hands and fill a glass of water. Logan picks up one of the vinyls and begins to work on it determinedly. When he's satisfied with the lack of dust and debris, he slips it into one of the paper sleeves and slots it against the cardboard wall of its box. Wade's head pops up over the end of the breakfast bar, brows furrowed. "What are you doing?" He dips the roller into the water and gives it a good rinse, trying to make sure these are stored somewhat correctly. "Why?" His hand stills on the way to pick up another record, really giving Wade a good look. The top half of his face is fully pinched and he sounds completely baffled. "It's your stuff?" "Well, yeah, but why?" "Because," Logan says slowly, not sure how to actually answer that. "Shouldn't he want his things taken care of? It's your stuff." Wade doesn't say anything else, so Logan continues cleaning and sleeving the records, carefully brushing off rubble from the album covers of The Lucky Ones, before working on those with the roller too. Eventually, he makes it to the bottom of the stack and finds one he wouldn't be surprised is an original pressing from the 70s, the edges of the cardboard turning beige with wear. He picks it up and slides the record out easily. "That was my mom's," Wade says, appearing directly next to him and sending another thrill of adrenaline up his spine with the suddenness. "She was obsessed." "It's a good album," he comments, as he gently runs the roller across Pearl. "I think her first one is better, though." "See, I thought so too, but my mom wouldn't hear it. Something about how raw it is, and how we'll never actually know Genesis' finishing touches," Wade says, as he thumps over the cover. He shrugs and takes the vinyl from Logan when he offers it up. "She thought Keith Haring's last painting was really good, too. I think she was just really into the idea of listening to someone's stuff that was never finished before they died, you know? Like the haunted morbidness of it. A lot of people feel the same." A moment passes between them, and Logan eyes him carefully, afraid to scare him off or somehow accidentally make him go back to that god-awful silent place. Wade probes around the items in the clear container and pinches one of the rings between his fingers, inspecting it like he hasn't seen it in a long time. "My dad killed her," Wade says without warning, dropping the ring into the box with a dull thud before shaking his head and demanding, "My mom, not Janis Joplin. I don't think he actually meant to, you know, 'cause it was like a weekly thing to speed up and swerve whenever he got mad at one of us, but we hydroplaned and ended up in a tree. Joke's on him, we were fine, but she didn't make it." When he looks up and takes in the hard expression on Logan's face, the carefree mask shatters. It leaves behind something raw in paint. "That was probably a lot, I'm sorry." Logan's chest tightens, but he chooses to ignore it and places the album with the others. "You're not scared it'll happen to you?" Wade stares at him, processing. "He's not that bad," Wade rebuffs, but Logan can tell he's unsure about it. He reaches out and drags the box full of glass towards them pointedly, brows raised. "It's just stuff." "Just stuff," Logan repeats plainly in disbelief. He continues on, ignoring Wade shaking his head methodically as he leans on the counter. Your mother's favorite album, pictures of you and your friends, shit that should count as junk but obviously means something to you because you kept it. That's just stuff? Can you shut the fuck up? And he could. Logan is actually an expert at shutting the fuck up and letting people do whatever they want at the expense of voicing his wants. But something about this, about them as two people seeming to orbit each other with no real plan, seems too important to just shut the fuck up about. My lease is up at the end of April, Logan says evenly, despite desperation and fear gripping at his throat. Options are either signing here again or moving somewhere more expensive with a roommate. Wade straightens up a little, recognizing that he's being given an out, and rubs his forehead nervously. Shakily, through a thin, calm front, he asks, "Can you keep these for me?" "Yeah," Logan agrees easily. "Great, gotta go." He shoves past him and yanks the front door open. "Wade," Logan protests quietly, relief flooding him when he actually stops to turn and look. "Do they even know about him?" he asks, as he nudges the plastic bin on the counter. Wade says nothing in return and slams the door shut. A week passes, and Logan hasn't seen Wade. It worries him. They, at the very least, pass each other in the hallway a few times a week, which means that he's being avoided, and he's not sure how to take it. He knows that he pushed a little too much, but he can't bring himself to regret it. As he steps out of the subway stairwell, he spots Francis smoking all the way down the block on their stoop. Logan rolls his eyes to himself and continues on. When he reaches the stoop, he pulls his keys out and fully intends to ignore the piece of shit in favor of heading straight to his apartment. Francis throws an arm out to stop him. "You've been chatting up, my boy." Logan plays dumb. Knowing what he does about the situation, it'll only make it worse to confirm it, if Francis even actually knows and isn't spouting bullshit. "Who? Wade? Bald, foul mouth, skinned like a ball sack?" He shrugs. I've seen him around, sure." "No," Francis emphasizes bitterly, pushing off the railing and stepping up to Logan. "I know you've been spending time with him." He eyes him up. With the way the conversation seems to be going, the likelihood of Francis starting something physical is almost guaranteed. Logan does like his chances, but he really doesn't want it to come to that. "Okay," he says, and puts his key into the lock. "Nice talking to you." Francis grabs him by the collar and pushes him against the opposite rail, crowding into his space. "Nah, see, I don't appreciate you sticking your nose in business that doesn't involve you." Telltale signs of his rage show up all at once. Heat rises up his neck as the blood pressure builds behind his eyes dangerously, and a whoosh in his ears threatens to cause a blackout. He breathes through it to keep from immediately reacting. "You don't know what you're asking for here, Bob." "No, I know exactly what I'm asking for. You keep your distance from my boy, or else you might wake up somewhere unfamiliar with no memories." Logan grins and huffs out a short laugh right into his face. The threat sitting on the tip of his tongue is interrupted as the front door swings into the building, Wade standing there with a crazed look in his eyes. The rest of his face is calm, but something deep simmers behind it. "Come inside," he says evilly to Francis as he jerks his head towards the interior of the building. When Francis doesn't move, choosing to instead chuckle at him incredulously, Wade reaches out and yanks him away from Logan. They stand face to face in the doorway, but Francis tries to shove him back. It does nothing, and Wade, lightning quick, pulls him inside and pushes him against the wall there. "Listen to me, you useless fucking cum stain," Wade starts low and lethal. "There's a lot of shit I'm willing to put up with, obviously. And you know, I might spend the rest of my life watching you ruin it, but one thing I will not tolerate is you threatening my friends. I'm drawing a line in the fucking sand on this one." "Friend, eh?" Francis draws out nastily with a sardonic smile. "You actually think he sees you as more than a quick fuck? You're worthless, Wade. Nothing. And this asshole doesn't..." In a blink, Wade pulls Francis away from the wall, just to slam him back into it with a satisfying crack. "This asshole," he breathes out, "glued my Mickey Mouse mark back together after you threw it out a window." "And that means something to you? That's so fucking sad, Wade. I'm having a hard time not laughing." He steps back and holds his hand out expectantly. Give them to me. Francis tightens out and glances at Logan, still watching with crossed arms from outside. Give you what? Give me the fucking apartment keys. Another laugh bubbles out of his throat. You're just gonna... Red throws a punch that connects with his nose, a sickening crunch echoing out into the foyer of the building. I'm not fucking playing with you, Francis. Give me the stupid keys, or I'm calling your probation officer and letting her know you've been touching chips with your old dealer. He wipes some of the blood away from his mouth. You can't kick me out without a 30-day notice. Shut the fuck up, you stupid motherfucker. You're not even on the lease. So you're just gonna hold my things hostage? I could toss them out of the windows, if that works better for you. Logan uncrosses his arms and digs his key out of the door, before finally stepping inside. Just give them up. Francis looks over the two of them with disdain, as he finally realizes the consequences if he keeps escalating. Reluctantly, he delves into his hoodie pocket and passes the keyrings over to Wade, shoving past Logan to get to the street. On his way down the stairs, he turns around with a shit-eating, blood-soaked grin. All yours, big man. He's gonna burn you, and you're gonna remember the... Logan shuts the front door on him, effectively leaving them in silence. He turns to Wade, but instead finds himself alone. At the other end of the hallway, the elevator dings and the doors shut, Wade safely inside as he stares at the floor. He curses to himself and starts up the stairs two at a time. He's out of breath when he reaches the third floor, but he has beaten the elevator by a few seconds. The exasperated look on Wade's face when the doors open makes Logan want to laugh. He stalks out of the elevator and down the hall towards the apartments, still resolutely avoiding eye contact. When he flits through the keys in front of apartment 18, Logan decides it's enough. "Wade," he says quietly. He continues ignoring his efforts like Logan hadn't said anything. "Wade." He looks up with a harsh sigh. The exasperation has turned into devastation, and Logan isn't sure what to do with that, heart cracking right down the middle. "Look, don't. This shit is so messy, and you're gonna ask me for something that I don't think I can give to you, which might not be fair to you and puts weird expectations on me. I don't even know your name. To me, you're just the guy in 17. "Logan." Wade gives him a tired look, so he just shrugs in response. "I'm not gonna ask you for anything." They stare at each other for a few moments. He knows there's a lot of unspoken grief that the two of them hold privately, and that there are many things complicating the situation they've just found themselves in. Logan does want to ask Wade for something, but he's definitely not doing it now. Mostly, he just wants Wade to say Francis isn't coming back, and that he'll work on recovering from that shit show. That's what he actually wants to ask for. Anything else can come later, or never at all. But the very first thing on his list to ask for? Wade Wilson's happiness. Wade keeps fiddling with the keys in his hands, and Logan thinks he might explode out of his skin if neither of them says something in the next 5 seconds. He unlocks his own apartment and backs up just past the doorframe, offering, "I'm making buttered chicken for dinner." It feels like something finally clicks into place when Wade, a few seconds of consideration later, takes a hesitant step forward. Rain thumps against the windows of their apartment in a steady beat, Pearl playing quietly on the turntable in the living room. Impatiently, Logan looks at the clock on the oven and notes that his date is currently 23 minutes late. He sighs to himself as he seasons the salmon liberally. The buzzer for the apartment goes off in an annoying rhythm, and he sighs to himself again when he rinses his hands. "You're late," he presses the button between buzzers and answers into the microphone. "Come the fuck on, don't do this to me. It's raining and I don't have my keys." Logan fights back a smile and presses the button again. "What's the password?" "The password is you're going to be grumpy if this wine doesn't make it into the fridge right this second to keep chilled because it won't be cold enough for dinner." Weighing his options, he supposes that's a good enough password. He presses the other button and goes back to the kitchen to put the green beans in boiling water. A few seconds later, several bangs ring out on his door and he laughs. When he opens it, Wade pushes past him hastily and dumps the reusable grocery bag on the kitchen counter. He strips off his hoodie and tosses it on the floor, starting a trail that leads to the bedroom. By the time he enters, Wade is mostly naked, save for a pair of boxer briefs, and grabbing a pair of pajama pants from Logan's dresser. Logan turns him around and kisses him hello. "Happy anniversary," Wade says against his mouth. "Our anniversary isn't until June." "Semantics," he responds with a sigh, going in for more. He slips his freezing hands under Logan's shirt, who groans loudly at the contact and backs away. "Okay," he says as he continues walking, "get dressed." "Or," Wade pauses slowly, pulling him back in, "we can skip dinner and go straight to dessert." "No, you were late," Logan says between kisses. Wade leans back so far that Logan has to fully support his weight, groaning like he's in pain. He laughs and raises his voice to be heard over it. "Green beans are already boiling. If you were on time, I would have said yes." He leans in to plant a final few kisses on Wade's neck. Abruptly, he stands up straight and pushes at Logan moodily, reaching for a t-shirt he laid out on the bed. "No, get away from me. You ruined it," Wade hisses, and Logan obliges, heading to the kitchen. God, a girl can't even be 27 minutes late to a date in his own damn home. Can't have shit in this house. Logan loads the salmon into the oven just as Wade appears and starts putting the items away in the fridge. He takes in the relaxed lines of his shoulders and studies the concentration he holds for rearranging a few items to fit their wine amongst it all. The urge to kiss him again takes over, and he listens to it with no issue. He comes up behind Wade and wraps his arms around his waist, putting his hands in the pocket of the hoodie as he places a kiss on the side of his neck. Wade shrugs at him and tries to wiggle away, blush creeping up his face. "No, don't you have salmon to put in the oven?" "Already done." "You're a menace," Wade whispers, but turns around to press their bodies together anyway. Logan can't help but laugh into the kiss when the timer for the green beans goes off, and Wade makes an unattractive gargling sound. Reluctantly, he peels himself away to drain their veggies and finish them off with a sear. Wade starts talking about how his fingers cracked the day before from the cold and how it's keeping him from finishing the socks he started knitting a few weeks ago, and Logan makes a mental note to stay on top of his lotion care. Then, he pivots into telling Logan in great detail about how cracked skin can cause an infection and kill someone. Eventually, they sit down on the couch with their plates and turn on Grown Ups for the fifth year in a row. It doesn't get any less bad, but it still makes his heart go fuzzy with the idea of having a tradition with Wade. "Can we have dessert yet?" Wade asks at the end, rubbing sleep from his eyes where he's cuddled against Logan's shoulder. "Actual dessert. Then we can do whatever you want." "Can we try the strap tonight?" A laugh rips through his chest and he covers his face with one hand. "Why the fuck do you have an obsession with that thing?" "Because," Wade huffs, pushing himself up on his elbows. It hurts where they dig into his ribs, but Logan lets him do it anyway. "It's new. I want to keep things fun and fresh in the bedroom, just like Cosmo says we should." "We both have fully functioning penises. It's not that new." "Yeah, well, we are both getting up there in age, you know. What if they stop fully functioning?" Logan shifts him and stands to head to the kitchen. He opens the freezer and pops the container of strawberries open, reaching into his pocket and pulling out the grand prize of the night. Carefully, he places it around a piece of plastic protruding in the center of the box and closes it again before heading back to the living room. Wade makes grabby hands at him, and Logan obliges him, lovesick. With the container safely in his lap, he pops open the box greedily and reaches for one of the chocolate strawberries. He slaps the box halfway across the couch like it burned him and lets out a single yell before asking, "Logan, what the fuck is that?" "I think most people call them strawberries, Bob." "Stop being funny," he hisses, not taking his wild eyes off the plastic container. "What the fuck is that?" Logan gets on his knees between Wade's legs and investigates the offending item, picking it up between his fingers and pretending to inspect it like he's never seen it before. "Looks like an engagement ring." "And what's it doing in a box of chocolate-covered strawberries you made?" "Oh, right," he says plainly, like he's only just remembered. "I put it in there to propose to you, because I realized a long time ago that I really like it when you lie to people about me being your husband. Every time you say it, I wish we were married already. This is something I want for the rest of our lives, and I don't see any version of my future that doesn't include you and your... dick. Logan pins him with an incredulous look. Heart. And also my dick? Wade asks hopefully. He rolls his eyes with a soft smile. Yeah, bub. And also your dick. Wade makes a show of considering him for a moment and nods his head from side to side. I'll have to check my calendar, but I think I can squeeze you in there somewhere for the rest of our lives. Logan grabs the back of his neck and pulls him in, murmuring against his mouth. That's a relief. I wasn't sure what I'd do with all my time if you said no. Wade kisses him back softly. Probably sells your bait and think about how much you missed me. Logan pulls back. The look Wade wears is full of awe and love. There's not much more he can ask for, so he holds up the ring and waits for him to put his hand out. It goes on his finger with little resistance, the insets of the metal gleaming against the light of the television. They make eye contact and he seems almost shocked. Wow, no take backsies, Wade says as he turns his hand this way and that, taking in the sight of the ring on his finger. Should I start telling people you're my boyfriend now? Logan laughs. He stands up and drags Wade with him. If it makes you happy. The end. That was If It Makes You Happy, Living in a House That Doesn't Slam Doors by Ender Scones. Read by Panda.